1964, the Civil Rights Act, breaking down barriers. The momentum of the civil rights movement, surging from courtrooms to city streets, reached its legislative climax in 1964. After years of protest, sacrifice, and moral appeals to the nation's conscience, the United States Congress passed the most sweeping civil rights legislation since Reconstruction. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 was not only a response to the mounting pressures of the day, it was a landslide in its own right, crashing through decades of legal segregation and forcing the nation to confront the structures of discrimination that had long been embedded in its institutions, economy, and social life. 1964 was a landslide, one that reverberated far beyond the bill's signing ceremony into every corner of American society. By 1964, the country stood at a boiling point. The previous year had seen the March on Washington galvanize the movement and the nation, but it had also seen brutal backlash, most notably in the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, where four young black girls were killed. In the Deep South, segregationists clung fiercely to Jim Crow, defying federal rulings, closing public facilities rather than integrate, and using violence and terror to maintain white supremacy. President Lyndon B. Johnson, a Texan who had once been a reluctant ally of civil rights, now seized the mantle of leadership, recognizing both the moral necessity and political opportunity to push through legislation that President Kennedy had championed but not lived to see. Johnson's calculation was bold and deeply personal. He understood that by embracing civil rights, he risked alienating the Democratic Party's Southern base, but he also saw the legislation as a moral imperative and as a way to secure his legacy. When Johnson addressed Congress, he echoed the fallen Kennedy's call for action, but his own brand of hard-nosed political persuasion proved decisive in breaking the Senate filibuster led by segregationist stalwarts like Strom Thurmond and Richard Russell. The Civil Rights Act, signed into law on July 2, 1964, was monumental in its scope and ambition. It outlawed segregation in public places, restaurants, theaters, hotels, schools, and parks, striking a direct blow to the daily indignities and systemic exclusions that Black Americans faced. Title VII of the Act banned employment discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin, creating the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, to enforce these provisions. For the first time, the federal government committed itself to dismantling the legal framework of racial caste that had defined the South and much of the nation for nearly a century. But the landslide unleashed by the Act extended beyond the law itself. The Act's passage was both a culmination and a beginning. It opened the floodgates for challenges to segregation in schools, housing, and voting. It energized a generation of activists who saw the victory as proof that grassroots organizing, combined with political pressure, could yield transformative change. Yet, it also hardened resistance among segregationists, particularly in the South, where many viewed the law as federal overreach and an assault on their way of life. The Act's signing did not bring an end to the struggle. In Mississippi, the summer of 1964 became known as Freedom Summer, as activists descended upon the state to register black voters, teach in freedom schools, and challenge the state's deeply entrenched white supremacy. The violence that greeted them, including the murder of civil rights workers James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner, underscored that while legal barriers were falling, the battle for equality remained far from won. Nationally, the Act fueled new debates about the meaning of equality, the limits of federal power, and the scope of social justice. While the law prohibited discrimination in theory, it could not instantly erase the economic disparities, housing segregation, or police brutality that continued to plague black communities. For many, the Act was a landmark, but for others, it was only the first step toward a more profound reckoning with systemic racism and inequality. The 1964 election became a referendum on the Act and on Johnson's vision of an America committed to civil rights. Johnson faced Republican Senator Barry Goldwater, who opposed the Civil Rights Act on libertarian grounds, arguing that it infringed upon states' rights and individual liberties. Goldwater's opposition won him five Deep South states, signaling the beginning of the political realignment that would see the South drift toward the Republican Party. But Johnson's landslide victory, one of the largest in U.S. history, also demonstrated that, nationally, the country was prepared to embrace the promise of civil rights, even if it meant fracturing old political alliances. 1964 was a landslide not only in the electoral sense, but in the tidal wave of change that the Civil Rights Act unleashed. It set the stage for further legislative victories, including the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and the Fair Housing Act of 1968. It expanded the possibilities of what the federal government could do to address inequality, creating a blueprint for future struggles over gender, disability, and sexual orientation discrimination. But the act also exposed the limits of legislative victories in transforming the deeper, more insidious structures of racial injustice. Economic disparities persisted, schools remained segregated by neighborhood and resource allocation, and the North's own patterns of de facto segregation became more visible and contested. The riots that would erupt in cities like Watts in 1965 reflected the frustration that, despite the law's promises, the lived experience of Black Americans remained fraught with inequality, neglect, and violence. The passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was both a high point of the civil rights era and a prelude to new battles. It forced the nation to confront its own image, to live up to its constitution, and to recognize that democracy, if it was to be meaningful, had to be inclusive. The victory belonged not only to the politicians who signed the bill, but to the thousands of ordinary citizens who had marched, sat in, boycotted, and bled for the right to be treated as equals in their own country. In the next episode, the fight for justice would move from the legislative halls of Washington to the streets of Selma, Alabama, where the struggle for voting rights would reach its most violent and transformative moment. 1965. Selma and the Voting Rights Act will explore how the battle for the ballot became the next frontier in the civil rights revolution.